This past week, we had this chus of reading Parshas Tazria. And of course, at the beginning of Parshas Tazria, we are told about the chiyuv, the obligation of bris milah. I wanted to take a few minutes to speak about a fascinating topic that comes up in regards to bris milah, although certainly not specifically mentioned in Parshas Tazria. That is the issue of whether or not a woman concerns as a mohel. And this is an issue that has its roots in essentially two different sugyas and shas. The first sugya can be found in Afchaset and Sefer Kedushin, where the Mishnah tells us that any mitzvah of the Ben Ala'av, which Gemara comes to interpret, any mitzvah that the father is responsible to the son, so the father is chayiv and the woman is pater. What's an example of a mitzvah of the son onto the father? One example, for instance, is Pidyon HaBen. And the other example, or one of the other examples, is the mitzvah of bris milah, that this is something which is mutal, this is something which is on the father. The father is chayiv, and the mother is not chayiv. The mother is pater. Gemara says, how do we know such a thing? So the Gemara says that we know, just based on the psukim by Avraham Avinu, that a father is chayiv in the bris of his child. I think Gemara continues that if the father abnegates, the father does not fulfill his responsibility, so it falls onto the Beis Din. And the Beis Din doesn't do it, so the child himself is obligated to be mild himself or to make sure that he gets circumcised. And if he doesn't do so, there's Nisir Kares. About this issue of Nisir Kares, there's a discussion of the Rishonim, most prominently in the Rambam and the Ravid, about, number one, who is chayiv in kares? Is this something which is on the father or on the child? And then the second question is, at what point, if it is on the child, or even if it's on the father, at what point does that chayiv kares essentially kick in? Is it after 8 days? Is it when the child turns bar mitzvah? When does that chayiv kares go into effect? And as a side note, we do know that even what a chayiv kares is, itself is a discussion and a debate exactly what it means to be chayiv kares. But either way, that's the discussion of the Rishonim about the chiyuv kares. Mari says, how do we know that a woman is not mechuyevet, she's not obligated at the bris? Because we know that in Parshas Vayera, after Yitzchak was born, so we said that Avraham was mal Yitzchak, kasher tziva oso Elokim, the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Oso, commanded him, the Gemara darshens out, Oso, the low Osa, him, but not her. And one could perhaps question whether or not this pasuk seems to be specifying that a woman is not obligated. It could just be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had been speaking to Avraham, and therefore that's why the pasuk says Oso. But of course we understand that the nature of the mudim are complicated. It's fueled by Yitzhara, and therefore our Mitzhara is that the Pasuk Oso comes to teach us Oso, him, a man, Avraham, and all men, below Osa, and not a woman. Now this is brought down, this Pesach Halacha, in the Shulchan Aruch. It's codified by the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos. Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvah Resh Tes Vav, Mitzvah Taseh Resh Tes Vav. So the Rambam lays out what the mitzvah is. And the Rambam says at the end of that, the mitzvah says that a woman is not mechuyevet in the way that a man is chayiv to be mal their son. It's a little bit of a, I wouldn't say complicated, but certainly a language that can lead to some confusion in the sense, again, the Rambam says that a woman is not mechuyevet in the way that a man is chayiv. Perhaps one could read that Rambam is saying that she's a little chayiv, but just not as much as the man. But it doesn't seem to be the pshat. The Rambam, seems to be that she's not mechuyevet at all in the way that the man is chayiv at the bris. Now there is a question that's posed by the Acharonim. If a person opens the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, in the beginning of Hilchos Bris Milah, Hilchos Bris Milah can be found in Sefer Ahava, right after Hilchos Brachos. From the very first halacha, Perek Aleph, halacha Aleph, the Rambam says that this is a mitzvah which is on the father. And the Rambam continues to essentially quote the Gemara that the father doesn't do it, so then the Beis Din has to do it. If the Beis Din doesn't do it, so the son has to do it. But the Rambam does not mention in Perek Aleph, halacha Aleph, anything having to do with a woman. He completely leaves it out. And then the question would be, why is that? Why does the Rambam leave out essentially the line of the Mishnah and the Gemara that the man is chayiv and the woman is pater? Now, perhaps one can establish as a theory that the purpose of the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah and the purpose of the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvot are very different. And it's a theory that makes sense, namely that in the Sefer HaMitzvot, the Rambam is describing the mitzvah in pieces that are relevant, in pieces that perhaps are not as relevant. He's not discussing a process of what has to be done. He is defining the mitzvah bigadol. And in that definition, so the Rambam says that a man is chayiv and a woman is not. In the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam is laying out a course of action of what is the procedure. Therefore, perhaps there's no need to say in the Mishnah Torah that the woman is pater, because all the Rambam is doing is describing what the man does or Beis Din does. Perhaps there, the Rambam has no need to go through who's chayiv and who's pater, because it's not necessarily relevant. Question would be, if that is true, you'd have to see that in other places in the Rambam also. Whether in other places as well, the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah leaves out some of those peturim. But again, it's certainly an open question why the Rambam, the Sefer HaMitzvot, states that the woman is pater, in the Mishnah Torah, he's silent on the topic. Just as a side note, this thing that's got in the Tatsinoch and other places as well. Now, all that the person did was look at this Gemara and Kedushin that a man is chayiv and a woman's not. Essentially, there would be a very important piece of information that would be left out, and that would be, well, we understand that a woman's not mechuyeves, but there are many things that a person is not chayiv in, but it's still something, a kiyum if they do it, it's a nice thing if they do it, if they can do it, if there's a rishos. And therefore, just based on the Gemara and Kedushin, we know that a woman is not mechuyeves. The question is she allowed to be mal her child? Is that an effective milah? And that's something that is discussed in the Gemara and the Avodah Zarah on Daf Chaf Zayin Amud Aleph and Chavav Amud Beis, because there the Gemara has a discussion in both the Tanayim and in the Marayim about what is the status of a milah done by a non-Jew. Is that milah good or is it not good? And Leisman de Palig, everyone agrees that the milah done, performed by a non-Jew, is not kosher. The only question is, how do we know that? So this boils down to my focus between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Rav says we know it from the pasuk of Tishmor et Brisi, you have to guard my bris, and a non-Jew is not included in that bris, and therefore he does not have to, or he can't be mal a child, because he's not included in the observation of the covenant. And the Shita of Yochanan is from the pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha of Himol Yimol. Now, Himol Yimol, the pashtos means that you should surely circumcise a child, but in Chazal, so that certainly is one of the pshatim. But another pshat is essentially Himol Yimol, namely a person who is circumcised is allowed to do a circumcision, more like Hamol Yimol, namely if you have a bris yourself, so then you are obligated and you are allowed to Himol somebody else. Now, both of these instances, a non-Jew not only is exempt, but a non-Jew would not be allowed to do a bris, either based on the pasuk of Rav or of Yochanan. Now the Gemara goes on to ask, what would be the nafkamina between these two positions, these two limudim of Rav and of Yochanan? So the Gemara suggests different possibilities, but in its conclusion says that the nafkamina is whether or not a woman is pashur to perform a bris. if we assume that it's from the pasuk of Rav, namely Tishmores Briti. So a woman also is not part of that original Brit. A woman was not included initially in the conversation to Avraham Avinu. A woman can't get a Brit, and therefore she would be possible. She would be disqualified from giving her own child a Brit or anybody else a Brit. But if we assume, says the Gemara, like Rav Yochanan, that the pasuk is imol imol, so even though the woman does not have a bris, it's as though that she was born circumcised already. It's as though she was born in a complete whole state. The purpose of the bris is to be bashlim, to be misake, to complete, to make whole the person. The woman was already considered to be in that circumcised state already. And therefore, she would fit into the rubric, she would fit into the mandate of yimol yimol, that a circumcised person is allowed to give a circumcision. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, a woman would be kosher to give a bris milah. The Gemara goes on and asks an obvious question. According to Rav, who says that a woman is qualified to giving a bris milah to her child, how do we understand the actions of Moshe's wife in giving a bris milah to their children? The Gemara gives different shatim how to understand that action that was done. But again, that certainly the tashkent is that a woman in fact did give a bris, and that would be certainly, despite the answer given in the Gemara, that would certainly be a strong question on Rav, who would seem to say that a woman is possible for a bris, as opposed to Riosanon, based on Himol Yimol, that a woman, even though she's not mechuyevet, a woman is kosher to give a bris. Now, how do we talk it? So, like most things, this turns into a machlokas rishonim. Most rishonim side with Rabbi Yochanan, and if you want, take a look in Tosfos, Daf Zayin, but Aleph, Yibar Mashfil, Isha, the Rambam, the Rosh, the Rif, the Bahag, many other rishonim, the Gaonim, they hold like Rabbi Yochanan. Normally, the machlokas is Rabbi Yochanan and Rav, so it's like Rabbi Yochanan. That a woman, even though she's not mechuyevet, a woman is kosher to be mal her child. And other rishonim, the Smach, the Bali Tosfos themselves, they say that a woman is possible to be mal their child, like the shitas of Rav. In the Shulchan Aruch, Machaber Paskins, like the Rambam and the Rish and the Rosh, of course, that a woman is kosher to give a bris. And the Rama says, Yesh Omrim, there are those who say that a woman is possible for giving a bris. And then the Rama makes a line that raises a question from the Gra and the Shach and many others. The Rama said, L'chei nodin lahader achar ish. Because there is a perspective in the Rishonim that a woman is possible to be mal her child, therefore, said the Rama, it is best to go after, it is best to track down, it's best to make sure that a man does the bris as opposed to a woman. Now that line is very, as I said, strange in the Ramah, because even according to the first opinion that says that a woman is kosher to give a bris, that opinion is only saying to be evet. Okay, according to everyone, Lekuliyama, both according to Riofanon and according to Rav, we would want to be mahadir, we would want to go after a man to do a bris. And in fact, the mahadir acknowledges that even within the first position of Yochanan, that we should always have a man do it instead of a woman. So what then is the Rama adding, including the position of Rishonim that say that a woman is possible for giving a bris? The Rama says, and based on this, we should be mahadir after a man, no matter according to which position in the Amaraya we should go ahead and seek after man for doing it. So the Torah Tamima, trying to explain that Rama, said, according to both opinions, we should always try to find a man to do a bris. What the Rama means to say is that think that we are sensitive to the position of Rav, that a woman is puzzled, therefore, we really have to make an effort to make sure we find a man. Meaning that according to the first Corinthians, according to the opinion of Yochanan, one might say that ideally we should find a man, but the woman is there, or she's just as qualified, or there's no man present, so have the woman do it. According to the opinion of the Ramosh, Mahader Acharnish, so we can't take that easy way out. We have to say, you know, we have to do what we have to do to make sure there's a man there, even if it means, you know, an inconvenience, even if it means paying money, if it means something, there has to be more of an effort. And the Torah Zimma says that's the pshat in the Ramah. Elobius mentioned just a last question that is posed in the Bali Tosfos on the Shita of Rav, and that's the following. We already said in the Gemara Kedushin that a woman is pater from Bris Milah. A woman is not mechuyevet Bris Milah because of the injunction of the pasuk of Oso velo Osa. But according to Rav says that a woman is pasul from being a moel. If she did a milah, it would not even be a good milah. She's disqualified altogether from doing the milah. So if you say, like the shita of Rav, that a woman is disqualified and she's pasul and she can't be a moel, so why then do we need the pasuk of Oso v'lo Osa teaching us that she's not mechuyeves? It's well beyond the fact that she's not obligated. She's not allowed to. Her bris is no good. It'd be possible for her to do it in the first place. If you say like the shita of Rav Yochanan, the Rav Yochanan says that the bris you would do is a good bris and she's not disqualified, so then we understand very well the Mishnah and the Gemara having to tell us she's not disqualified. She can do the milah, but she's not obligated. But if we say to Shita of Rav in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah that a woman is not allowed to be a moel, and that the woman is disqualified, and she can't be malo child, then why in the world would we need a pasuk and a mission in the Gemara to say she's not obligated in the milah? Right? That should be obvious. That would be completely extraneous, and that would be certainly a very good question on the Shita of Rav. I want to spend just a few minutes dealing with a famous question posed by the Bali Tosfos in Kedushin and Daf Chotes. This is the bottom Tosfos on the Amud. And Tosfos says, why do we need a pasuk to tell you that a woman is exempt from the mitzvah bris milah? Simply say this is a mitzvah seishas man grama. And of course, we know from the Mishnah and Kedushin that every mitzvah saseishas man grama, every time-bound mitzvah, a woman is exempt for. And this mitzvah bris milah would seem to be a paradigm of a mitzvah saseishas man grama, because we know it has to be done, number one, on the eighth day, and number two, it can only be done biyom, during the day, and therefore that should be a mitzvah saseishas man grama, much as we know that other cases where a mitzvah can only be done during the day, that has the status of being a mitzvah saseishas man grama. For instance, we know that the mitzvah binyan beis hamikdash can only be done biyom. And it happens to be that a woman is obligated in the mitzvah binyan beis hamikdash, and the Rishonim asked, wait a second, if the beis hamikdash can only be built during the day, so why would a woman be obligated? That is a mitzvah saseishas man grama, because it's time-bound that it has to be during the day. So why, then, do we need a special pasuk of Oso v'lo Osa? Simply to say this falls into the rubric of Kol Torah Kula, that a mitzvah saseishas is man grama nashim paturos. What is unique of this circumstance that we would have thought that a woman is mechuyeves, that we need to now come ahead and be told that, in fact, she is pater, that she is exempt? So this question can be approached through one of perhaps three different general avenues, but there's many, many answers given, and we'll mention just five of them now. The one answer, or first answer, is that perhaps this is not really something that is man grama. This is not a time-bound mitzvah. And that could be explained in one of two different ways. A, what Tosfos himself answers, is that perhaps we hold, like the Shita in Yevamos, that says that after the eighth day, so a person should do the milah either during day or during night. And therefore, the milah fundamentally is something that there's no real time restriction for.
And maybe even according to opinion that says it can't be done at night, not as though the new day is a new chiyuv. There's one chiyuv that has really no time limit. The night just sort of takes a break or is mapstick at time. But essentially, that shita would imply that there's no real set time for mila. The very fact that after the eighth day, the mila can be done v'yom v'layla, perhaps tells us fundamentally that there's no zman grama, that it's a consistent, constant obligation. Therefore, you would have a half mina that a woman is chuyeves. Comes the pasuk to tell us osa v'lo osa. That's a shita of Tosfos. And most people reject that opinion of Tosos. But the Rashash mentions in Kedushin a very beautiful idea, namely that this does not fall into the category of Zman Grama for another reason. Zman Grama is referring to a mitzvah that comes, lifrokim, comes from time to time. Lulav, an esrog, sukkah, matzah, things that are based on a calendar, things that come intermittently, but that's not true by Bris Mila. Bris Mila, if children are born as they are every single day of the year, so that every single day there'd be another Bris, fundamentally it's not something that is based on time because the Bris Mila is always happening. There could be a different Bris every single day of the year, and Mrs. Asesha's Van Grama is speaking about different events that take place over the course of Zman, over the course of the year. Therefore, says the Rashash, we would have thought that the idea of mitzvah seisha zman grama that women are pater from would not apply in this case, because again, this is not a paradigm, this is not an example of zman grama. Comes the Mishnah, comes the Gemara, tell us, no, they are pater, they are exempt because osa v'lo osa. That would be one school of thought. Another school of thought is reflected in a famous sheet of Tosfos and Megillah and Daf Chav. Tosfos says there that Echinami, this is a mitzvah seisha zman grama, and based on that, a woman would be pater, would be exempt. But seeing that this is a different circumstance because there's an Isser Kares involved, even though it's not going to be an Isser Kares on the woman, there's an Isser Kares on the child, therefore the Isser Kares would push aside the basic principle of mitzvah asei shazman grama nashim poteres, so nashim are exempt from, because again, that iser kares makes it more chamor. That's something that we see in other instances as well, that the chomer ha'onesh, the severity of the punishment, perhaps changes the halachic dynamic. It's really not the same thing, but for instance, we have by matzah, the very fact that it's an Isser Kares by Chameitz, then creates certain halakha categories that are unique. By Yerub HaYimasei, the expansive nature of Bedikas Chameitz, all those things, because the Isser Kares is hanging over our head, and that then changes a halakhic dynamic, so that would be true as well when it came to Bris Mila. The Havmina would be that a woman is Mechoyeves, the Bris of a child. Therefore, the Torah has to come and say, Oso, velo, Osa. That'll be school thought number two. School thought number three is Echanami. This is a Zman Grama. It is time-bound, and we're not necessarily willing to concede that the Isser Kares changes the dynamic, but that this is a different type of mitzvah than the typical mitzvah saseh. And that's something that we see in two different shitas in the Rishonim. The first is in the position of Tosfos Harid and the Marach or Zeruah, and the second is in the shita of the Ramban and the Ritva and the Rat. What does the Tosfos Harid say? Tosfos Harid says that what really is the essence of the chiyuv of the father? The chiyuv of the father is not on the gavra, is not in the maisa mitzvah itself, that the man has to perform the Bris Mila himself. He says that's not true. The obligation of the father is to be mitasek, is to be involved to make sure that the son gets circumcised, to rent the hall, to call the moel, to make the preparations, do all the things that have to be done, as opposed to doing the Mila itself. And therefore, the Havamina would be that in a mitzvah such as this, where it's not necessarily on the guf of the father, it's not necessarily the mice of the milah itself, but it's more in the arrangement of the bris, so there would be a Havamina that that's something that perhaps a woman's obligated for also. The woman is only putter from mitzvah seishas man grandma, that's on the guf, wearing tefillin and wearing tzitzis and doing this. But this mitzvah that's more organizational in nature, maybe a woman would be mechuyeves. That's why we need a pasuk, osa v'lo osa. That position of Tosfos HaRid would seem to explain a practice that the Shach mentions and that the Shach is critical of, namely that a man who knows how to do a milah, and the man who he himself is a moel, that the Shach records that people would be mechabed another person to do the milah. A person says, oh, there's going to be this famous moel in town, or maybe I would do it myself, I'll be mechabed somebody else to do it. The Shach said that is an awful idea, and he said that the Beis Din should discourage people from essentially farming out a milah if the man himself knows how to do it. But if we understand that the man's obligation is not to do the milah himself, but it's to facilitate to make sure the milah gets done, so we understand very well the minhag that the Shach is rejecting. The man says, well, it's not on me to do, it's on me to make sure it gets done. It doesn't make a difference whether it's me or it's somebody else. And that idea that it's not directly on the goof of the man to do it would also explain a couple other shitas. The fact that the bracha of the milah is al hamilah as opposed to lamul, that it tells us that it's not as connected to the person himself, but it's more to make sure that this child is nimol, that this child is circumcised. And there also might be a little bit of the discussion that we've shown him that in a case where the Beis Din does the milah, should they say the bracha lachnisa b'bris al sha'afim avinu, or is that specifically on the father? And that's the machlokes we've shown him. The more we assume that the father's obligation is simply to make sure the bris happens, the more we understand that the bracha lachnisa should be said by whoever it is that makes sure that the bris takes place. But if we assume that the mitzvah of milah is on the father, so maybe then the bracha lachniso also is identified only with the father, and therefore only the father would be in a position to say it as opposed to anybody else. All that, again, is an expansion of the sheet of the Tosfos HaRid that says that the obligation of the father is to be mitasek in the bris, help facilitate the bris, and maybe that's something that a woman is also obligated in, comes to her to tell you, oh so, Oso v'lo osa. Now, the last shita that also would explain this idea that maybe this is a different type of mitzvah is the shita that is very, very mistaber, mentioned by the Ramban and the Ritva. Namely, they said that seeing that Beis Din anyway is going to be mechuyav in the bris milah of this child, and the way that that's explained, that shita, the Ritva, and the Ramban, is that essentially all of Klai Yisrael are obligated, if the father absconds from his responsibility, all of Klai Yisrael is responsible for the birth of this child, and the Beis Din is acting as the representatives of all of Klai Yisrael. And therefore, the Havamina would be, and it certainly is a good Havamina, that a woman is no less obligated than Beis Din. A woman is no less obligated than the rest of Klai Yisrael. And therefore, even though normally we would say that mitzvah saseh she'zman grama, a woman is exempt from, and this is, in fact, according to the Ramban and the Ritva and the Ran, a classic mitzvah saseh in regards to this man, it's not a classic mitzvah saseh in the sense that this is a mitzvah which is mutal on the entire tzibur. And therefore, there would be a hafmina, and a very compelling hafmina, that a woman is no less obligated in the bris of her son than Yankel Schwartz from down the block, or the basin from down the block. Therefore, the Havamina would be that she'd be obligated as well. That's why the Pasuk has to come and say, oso v'lo oso. The woman, in fact, is not mechuyeves. Now, that shita of the Ramban and the Ritva, of highlighting, emphasizing the communal nature of bris milah, is something that we see in many other places as well. One of which is a famous shach in Shin Pei Beis and Choshe Mishpat that discusses If a person runs up and essentially steals the mitzvah from the moel, the father had appointed a moel to do the mitzvah. Somebody comes up and he comes and with the, you know, some rogue moel comes up and does the bris instead. Does he now owe yud zehuvim, ten zehuvim, to the person from whom he stole the mitzvah? And the Shach, in the discussion of quoting the Rosh and other Rishonim, says no, because again, this is a communal mitzvah, and therefore everyone to some degree is obligated to the mitzvah of bris milah. The sheet of the communal nature of bris milah is found in the fact that the discussion of the Ramah, that we're not supposed to invite people to a bris, because the bris is really the obligation of everyone to be there, and the person should not stay away from being at the bris. That's all part of that concept of the communal nature of bris milah. I want to conclude just with a Ran that I saw in Nedarim, the Gemara on Nedarim Daf Lamed Beis. The Gemara says that originally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had dominion over 243 limbs before bris milah took place. And then when bris milah took place, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had dominion over 248 limbs. What are the five limbs that were missing? And this is implied by Avram changing his name to Avraham, that that hey implied five more limbs are now included. Two eyes, two ears, and the bris, and the aver. The Ran points out that until the bris was done, until the bris milah was done, the man cannot be expected to have control over his eyes and his ears and other pieces of the body. Now that the bris was done, a man can have control over that. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes almost the melech over the entire person, because now a person can essentially have kavanah and focus and direct all of the 248 limbs towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now that Ran, this language is pointed out and discussed beautifully by Rav Henoch Leibowitz in one of his first pieces in Parshas Tazria, that Ran is really just exceptional. The bris can now allow a person to be expected to have control over their eyes. I mean, if there's no bris there, if there's no tikkun, if there's no addressing the human needs in the most, or the human body, the physicality of the human body in its most base form, so that lack of a bris affects essentially the entire ability of man to raise himself beyond the level of animals, in his eyes, in his ears. But once the bris is done, once we have been essentially placed into a perfect state, so now the expectation is that a man does have control over himself, and a man can take the healthy actions and the healthy steps to make sure that he is a kadosh person. That's the role of the bris, not just to do a bris, but the bris is mashpia, affects the entire sort of outlook and entire essence of a human being. It's a beautiful idea. And that's certainly true by man, and that would be true by woman as well, even if she's not obligated in bris milah. Very quickly, just to chazer what we said, the Mishnah says that a woman is pater from doing a bris, oso velo osa. That p'tor is recorded in the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos. It is not mentioned in the Rambam of the Mishnah Torah. That Gemara in Kedushin does not say whether a woman is kosher to do a bris, but that is, in fact, the machlokas between Rav and Rav Yochanan. Rav would say, based on the pasuk, that he utilizes that a woman is not kosher for a bris. Rav Yochanan would say that she is kosher to do a bris. That's machlokas we've shown in between the Rambam, Rosh, Riff, Ran, etc., that all pass like Rav Yochanan versus Tosvos and the Smak and others that say that a woman is not kosher for a bris. And it's also machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, the Shulchan Aruch taking the more lenient position. We mentioned the question of Tosfos and Kedushin Daf Chavtes about why do we need a pasuk when it's mitzvah zeshes man grama, and we gave five different answers. The answer Tosfos himself, that's really not as man grama because after the eighth day it can be done day and night. The answer the Rashash, that's not as man grama because bris can take place every day. The answer Tosfos in Megillah, there's Nesakares. Tosfos Arid says it's a different type of mitzvah say. And the Ramban also, who says it's different than mitzvah say, because all five shows connected in this mitzvah. And the mitzvah of bris should continue to inspire us to recognize our own communal responsibilities and to connect us with families, men, and children, in the general connection of our covenant and our connection as a community and a community standing under Kanfei Takas Shvina. Thank you, everyone.